Chris shared a word at Lanterns a few weeks ago, and he said to me just recently, he'd like to share it with us here in church. And it's a word that's based on the character of Naaman in the Old Testament. So we're going to run a video now, and we're going to hear from Chris and Sue a little about a bit from this story in the Old Testament about Naaman.
The healing of Naaman. The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. "Go and visit the prophet," the king of Aram told him. "I will send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel." So Naaman started out, carrying as gifts 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter to the king of Israel said, "With this letter I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, "Am I God that I can give life and take it away? Why is this man asking me to heal someone with leprosy? I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him, "Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message, "Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy." But Naaman became angry and stalked away. "I thought he would certainly come out to meet me," he said. "I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord his God and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus and Abana and the Parpa better than any of the rivers of Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed?" So Naaman turned and went away in a rage. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, "Sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says simply, 'Go and wash and be cured.'" So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him. And his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. Then Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. They stood before him and Naaman said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel, so please accept a gift from your servant." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept any gifts." And though Naaman urged him to take the gift, Elisha refused.
Good morning, everyone. I'm sure you'd all agree that nothing is impossible with God. And as I've been reading through these chapters this week, I was talking and we was praying together with a lady at our church. And at the end of her prayers, she actually said that it's only God that can take this virus away. And I thought, yeah, I believe that some things it's only God that can do. And just before Christmas, I was out on the streets with my friend Lindsay, and you probably know him. He's the guy who's got a 12-foot cross with a little wheel at the back, and he walks from town to town telling people about the love of Jesus. And we was out, this was just before Christmas, we was out in Penzance, and we'd been walking for a long while. And Lindsay had gone off and he'd been speaking and he was chatting with these other guys. And I kind of needed a rest, so I had the cross on my shoulder and I was walking like that. And I put it down and I just was resting on it really and just taking it easy. And I didn't realise, but I was actually right outside a nice restaurant. And this lady came out of the restaurant, and she looked at me, and she looked at the cross, and she said, "I'm a good person, I am." And I said, "I'm sure, yeah." And she says, "I'm in control of my life. I'm a good housewife, and I've got a good job, and I'm a good person." And I didn't say nothing, and I just felt, well, is there, would you like me to pray for you for anything? And she said, no, I'm a good person, I am. Well, Lindsay came back, and he kind of looked, and he said, "All right." And I said, yeah, okay. And we moved on. Now, that was just a little while just before Christmas. And, who would have known that this coronavirus would have swept through the country, swept through the world? Let's get to the story of Naaman. As we know, Naaman was the captain of the Syrian army. His name actually means pleasantness. And I think that's a nice name, pleasantness. He was a very powerful man, someone who only had to say the very word and people would do it for him. He was very much in control of his army and in control of his life. But unfortunately for Naaman, he had leprosy. And no amount of money or persuasion, there was no doctors or vaccines, none of his false gods could rid him of this awful disease. But he had a servant. It was a servant made for his wife, and she told him about a prophet in Israel called Elisha. She said that he could heal Naaman. So after speaking to his own king, he then went to see the king of Israel, King Joram. And Naaman took him, as Susie read, lots of gifts. And I believe it was because he felt if he went and saw this king and presented him with his wealth and everything, he could kind of pay his way out of his predicament. But when the king saw Naaman, he said, "Am I God who can give life and take it away?" King Joram had no answer for Naaman. But then, as Susie read in verse 8, when Elisha the prophet heard of this, he sent a message to the king and to Naaman, and he said, "Send Naaman to me, and he will see that there is a true prophet here in Israel." Well, Naaman went along to Elisha, and when he arrived at his house, Elisha sent out a messenger. Elisha didn't even go out of his house to see him. Can you imagine that? He sent this messenger, and the messenger said to Naaman, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River and you will be healed." Now, can you imagine someone with lots of power like Donald Trump or Bill Gates, or you fill in the name, that they've got this disease or whatever, and someone says, "Go and wash in a dirty old river." And at that time, the Jordan was a really dirty river. It was like a sewer. Nowadays, it's a lot cleaner and it's alive with fish and stuff. But then it was a rotten old river. And I believe Naaman must have felt to himself, "I've come all this way, and to hear you send out a messenger to me, Naaman, and tell me to go and dip in a dirty old river. Don't you realise this is serious? I'm dying. It's leprosy. I'm perishing." Now, then his guards said to Naaman, "If you were asked to do something really difficult, you would have done it." And when the arrow hits the target, it must have shoo-dung, and it just must have made Naaman realise. Because he knew in his heart that they were right. If he was going to be helped by God, he was going to have to let go of his own control. And that is not easy. when we have to take our hands off the steering wheel of our lives and pass it on to God, the truth is that isn't easy. But Naaman and his men, they went to the River Jordan. And I wonder what his thoughts was as he was going into the river. You know, he would have said to his men, you know, go, stand up, stay over there, I'm going to go in the river now. And he would have taken off his armour and his stuff. And he would have walked into the river and, you know, what was going on through his mind? Oh no, what happens if this don't happen? I look such a fool. And then he'd dip under the water, come back up again, and it's like, nothing worked. Oh no, what are they going to think? He could have been thinking of all several things. And then he would have dipped in the water again and back up. Nothing had happened. 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. And I guess the thoughts were just going in his mind even more. 6 times. And then on the 7th time, he got up. And hallelujah, he was healed. Amazing. His skin was like of a young boy. And he just thought, oh, this is incredible. His faith was only small, but God healed his body. But what's more is God healed his heart. Now, not too long ago, our Prime Minister, as you know, was rushed to hospital with the coronavirus. And Boris was there in his hospital bed. And I believe that there was a Christian nurse who looked after him day and night. And she gave him a Bible. And as he was lying there, not knowing what his outcome was, she would have been praying, just like so many people in the country would have been praying for their Prime Minister. And I just wonder if, as Boris lay there, he came to realise, just like Naaman, that even though he controls so much, there are some things that he doesn't control. And that some things are just not, they're impossible for us, but they're not impossible for God. And I've recently heard a story from a guy from Holy Trinity, Brompton, called Charlie McGeese. And he said this story, and it just touched my heart because I thought it really explains about letting go. And so what he said was, there was a vicar who went to a hospital, and he used to do the chaplaincy work. And he was walking through the ward, and there was a guy in the bed, and he was from the local prison. And as he'd walk past this guy every day, the guy would go like that. And he would carry on. And then another day he would come in, and he'd see the guy, kind of smile, and a bloke. And you think, okay, fair enough. And then one day he went to the hospital and he was walking through and the guy didn't wave his fist no more. And the guy actually said to him, come over here. So he made his way over. And he said, what's all this, vicar, this collar and that, you know, what does it mean? And so the vicar said, well, he said, you know, I believe that we've all messed up in life. We all do things wrong, we all try to control our lives, and yet so often we mess up. He says, and that's why we need Jesus. Oh, he says, oh, yeah, I'll get that. He says, and Jesus actually told us a story about the prodigal son. There was a father and he had a son, and the son messed up, and the son, you know, moved away from the dad, and he used up all of his money and he wasted it on high living and everything. And the son lost control of his life and he ended up living with the pigs. And he just came to his senses and he thought, my gosh, he says, you know, when I was with my dad, and he thought, I'm going to go back to my dad, I'm going to repent and I'm going to go back and I'm going to say sorry to my dad. And as he was making his way back, his dad saw him from afar off. And this was the days where a father would never do this. He lifted up his robe and he just ran to his son. And he ran and he said, my son, he said, you were dead, but now you're alive. And he just held him in his arms. And he just said, you're alive, son. And the bloke said to him, yeah, I get it. He said, but what about all the praying? You know, what's that all about? He said, well, when we've accepted Jesus into our life and he comes to live in us, we can pray to him. And, you know, and he got up from his chair and he said, you know, see this chair here? He says, imagine that's Jesus there. He says, and you can pray to him, you know. What would you say to him? So the bloke thought about it. He said, I tell him I'm scared. He said, yeah, that's great. Tell him he wants to hear what you've got to say. And so the guy said, all right. He said, and, you know, even if you've got nothing to say, he just wants to be with you. And, you know, at the end, he just wants to put his arms around you and tell you that, you know, it's okay. It's going to be all right. So the bloke says, all right, yeah. Well, the vicar thought, well, I've probably said enough now. And he got up and he walked off. Well, the next day, he walked into the hospital and he noticed the guy had been moved. And so he said to one of the nurses, that chap there, where's he gone? And the nurse said, oh, unfortunately, he died. He said, oh, okay. She said, well, just before he died, he was so happy. He was telling all the staff about Jesus and he was so joyful. So he said, oh, that's really good. She said, but a strange thing happened that when we went and found him, he was lying in his bed, sort of half in his bed, and then half out of his bed, and he was just holding on to the chair. And you know, I guess that prisoner got it. He got that Jesus loves him, and that he doesn't have to try and control his life. That there are some things that is just for God.
Thank you so much to Chris for putting that together for us, and Susie. And I know Graham's got a bit of help putting the images in there, but what a fantastic story at the end there. This guy finding Jesus in the closing days of his life. And this picture of the Father, you know, we started this time together by celebrating Father's Day. What we have in our God in heaven is the perfect Heavenly Father who runs to us, who embraces us, who restores us. And he sort of pulls us into his family. And that reality of who God is there for all of us to know. And I really want to encourage you to think through that today. If you've never thought it through today, if you're watching and thinking, actually, I've never sat and thought about God as the God who's waiting for me to come back to him. He's done everything possible for me to come back to him, everything in Christ. Jesus did it all. He paid the price so I could come to him. There's no barriers, there's no blockages, there's no hindrances or obstacles. He's cleared the path so we can come to him and he can come to us. And that is the offer there for each and every one of us here today. So if you've never thought about that, just take a moment this Father's Day to think about that. This is your perfect heavenly parent who loves you perfectly and wants to be in a relationship with you.